नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 13, Text Number 27.
Rupam Bhagavata Tvedat Ashesha Klesha Sankshayam Avishkrutam Naklishtanam किमन्यत् अनुकंपितम् रूपं भगवता त्वेतद् अशेषक्लेश संशयम् अविष्कृतं न क्लिष्टानां किमन्यत् अनुकंपितम् रूपं भगवता त्वेतद् अशेषक्लेश संशयम् अविष्कृतं न क्लिष्टानां किमन्यत् अनुकंपितम्।
माताजी, लीड word to word translation.
Rupam, form. Bhagavata,
by your lordship.
Tu,
but.
Etad,
this.
Ashesha,
unlimited.
Klesha,
miseries.
Sankshayam,
which dissipates.
Avishkritam,
revealed.
Naha,
of us.
Klishtanam,
who are suffering from material conditions.
Kimanyat,
what to speak of.
Anukampitam,
those to whom you are always favorably disposed. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: Dear Lord, weak conditioned souls are always covered by ignorance in the bodily conception of life. We therefore always prefer the miserable condition of material existence. to deliver us from these miserable conditions, you have advented yourself in this transcendental form. This is evidence of your unlimited causeless mercy upon those of us who are suffering in this way. What then to speak of the devotees to whom you are always so favorably disposed? Purport. When the Lord appears in his original form, he acts to deliver the pious and annihilate the miscreants. Although he annihilates the demons, he nonetheless benefits them. It is said that all the living entities who died on the battlefield of Kurukshetra attained their original constitutional position, Swarupa, because they had the chance to see Krishna face to face, riding in the chariot of Arjuna. On the battlefield of Kurukshetra, superficially two things were going on. The demons were being killed and the devotees, Arjuna, was being protected. However, the results were the same for everyone. Thus it is said that the appearance of the Lord diminishes all kinds of miserable conditions caused by material existence. It is clearly stated in this verse that this form, Ashesha Klesha Sankshayam, is meant to diminish all the miserable conditions experienced in life, not only by the devotees, but by all others. Avishkritam na klishtanam. The prachetas identified themselves as common men. Kim anyad anukampitam. The devotees are always favorably accepted by the Lord. The Lord shows all mercy not only to conditioned souls, but also to the devotees who are already liberated due to their devotional service. The form of the Lord as worshipped in the temple is called Archavigraha or Archavatar, the worshipable form, the deity incarnation. This facility is offered to neophyte devotees so that they can see the real form of the Lord face to face and offer their respectful obeisances and sacrifices in the form of Archa. Though such facilities the neophyte gradually invokes, through such facilities the neophyte gradually invoke their original Krishna consciousness. Deity worship in the form of temple worship is the most valuable benediction given by the Lord to beginners. All neophyte must therefore engage in the worship of the Lord by keeping the Archa Vigraha at home or in the temple. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guroho Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Itinamine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Goratvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyae Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabho Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So before I start, I beg the blessings of all the devotees, specifically senior devotees, so that we can speak on this elevated topics of Srimad Bhagavatam. So Prabhupada writes in this 27th verse. Now these are the prachetas glorifying the Lord's different activities. So here, in specifically this verse, two things are Prabhupada is telling. One is that the deity form of the Lord is helpful not only to the devotees but also for the outsiders, those who are not still come in the fold of devotional service. And then he talks about another thing, is that how Lord is always favorably disposed to everyone, whether he is a demon, whether he is a devotee, or whether he is non-devotee. So in first paragraph only, Prabhupada writes that how Lord's all activities are auspicious. Anything, whether he is giving benediction or whether he is killing someone. And then Prabhupada writes here that those who are present on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, whoever was killed just because they were seeing the Lord's lotus face in front of their eyes when they were dying, they could all reinstated in their original Swarupa in spiritual world. So then Prabhupada says here that whether Krishna was killing the demons or whether he was benedicting devotees, both are his auspicious activities. That's the nature of the Lord. That Lord can never be below his, whenever he is acting, his all activities are all auspicious. And second paragraph, very nicely Prabhupada points out how prachetas are praying. They are praying that, my dear Lord, you are very merciful to your devotees, and at the same time you are very merciful to non-devotees. So then he says, the prachetas are telling that people like us who are not devotees, like ordinary people suffering in this world, you are so merciful. What to speak of the devotees? So they are counting all of them as non-devotees. Prabhupada's Jai Shri Radha Ras Bihari Ji Ki Jai, Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ki, Shri Gaurinitai Ki Jai, Shri La Prabhupada Ki Jai. So here prachetas are counting themselves in the category of non-devotees. And Prabhupada writes that this is the way a devotee always feels. Devotee always feels that he is nowhere to be counted in devotees. So we are hearing one prayers by one of the acharya. He says that, my dear Lord, when I hear your name Bhakta Vatsala, it shakes my heart. I become despondent. I feel very morose when I hear this name of yours, Bhakta Vatsala. But when I hear your name as Dina Vatsal, then again I become hopeful. I feel very nice. So underlining theme is same, that he feels that Krishna is Bhakta Vatsal, very nice, and he loves his devotees, but I am not a devotee. So then Krishna's love is not for me. But when he says Dina Vatsala, then Lord is, Dina Vatsal means he is giving his benedictions to those who are fallen. So then he feels very nice. Okay, then I have some chance. So that is the way a devotee always thinks. Even when we, every day in the morning, we sing these prayers for Prabhupada, that Sri Guru Karuna Sindhu Adhama Janara Bandhu, that this Adhama Janara Bandhu is none other than we ourselves. It's not that all people are adhama and Prabhupada has come for them and then he is bestowing his mercy to all adhama people. So when Narottam Das Thakur is writing, he also exhibits the same feelings, that a devotee never feels himself that he has come to some level of devotional qualification. He always feels that he is still non-devotee. And then in third paragraph, Prabhupada writes about the description of Archa Vigraha, that how that Archa Vigraha form which Lord incarnates, Prabhupada writes here, Archa Vigraha or Archa Avatar. So this is also one of the avatar of the Lord. He appears in this world as Archa Vigraha. And how it is so beneficial to practically everyone. So when we talk about Archa Vigraha, many times people have different conceptions. Some of the sects, they feel that deity worship is idolatry. Idolatry means it's just worshipping some images which are not exactly the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that's why many times they take to the path of desegregating these deities. They break the deities and they feel that they are doing some good work to the society by doing that. But here, when we understand Archa Vigraha through proper understanding of Guru Shishya Sampradaya, then we understand that Lord is, although Lord is there in the spiritual world, but still he is so capable, he is so much potent in his all energies that he can express himself to common man through matter also in his Archa Vigraha form. And this can be seen by those who have gone through that training and education. The way sometimes when our motorbike or our car gets damaged and engine is not functioning well, then we go to the mechanic and just by hearing the firing of the motor, how it sounds, immediately he can detect the problem. Same engine sound we may hear, but for us it's just a noise. There is nothing understandable from that. But mechanic, because he has gone through that training and education about that engine and its functioning, because of that training and education, he can perceive the faults, what is there in the engine. So similarly, we can also change our conceptions to the degree we go through that training and education. So perception is just a matter of training and education. The way we are training ourselves, to that degree we will be able to perceive. So when we are trained under Guru and Acharyas in the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, then we can also see the way the mechanic can see the faults in engine. So when we are talking about the form of the Lord, many times another misconception is that when we are putting a form to the Lord, then we are limiting the Lord. But we have to know that, that's why many times people they say that Lord is like last verse only Mukunda Mahaprabhu took. There it was stated that how the Lord is all pervasive. Lord pervades everyone, everything of this world. So when this all pervasiveness of the Lord is at one side, and then you say that okay, here is a vigraha which looks like limited form of the Lord, then this confusion comes that how you can limit God like this? His Lord is everywhere, why you are limiting that Lord in the form? So we have to see that this limit, at our place also, like we have a form, two hands, two legs, one head, and because of this form we are limited. Like now we are sitting in the Srimad Bhagavatam class, at the same time we cannot be in the Brahmacharya ashram or in other place. So then that's the limitation of this form. We cannot be at this place also and, you know, outside the temple also. So similarly, they feel that if Lord is limited like this in temple, then how Lord can be everywhere? But here, very important thing we have to see, that the limitation is not because of the form, but because of matter which is made, you know, that is the ingredient of that form. For example, if say one room is there which also has a form because of its bricks and other things. So the room is there and it is having a form. Just by destroying that form, making that formless, we can say, you know, blow off that whole room by some bomb blast, and the whole room is broken, form has gone, it becomes formless in terms of some, you know, debris. So just because it becomes formless, that doesn't make it unlimited. It still remains limited only, whether that room has a form or it has no that particular form. So form is not the limitation. What is limitation is material form. So when it comes to spiritual form, then that is not limiting. So when we understand that such omnipotent Lord, when he acts through his such archavigraha, then it's very benedicting to the whole humanity. And these forms are exactly made according to the scriptures. That's why we find so much description in all over the scriptures about the Lord's form. Like every day in the morning also we sing this. Venum kvanantam aravindadalayataksham barhavatam samasitam budasundarangam kandarpakotikamaniya vishesha shobham govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. He says he's carrying Venu in his hand and he's having very beautiful peacock feather, barhavatam samasitam, and his all body is so delicate and very beautiful. And his body is so beautiful that it can attract kandarpa koti. Even the crores and crores of cupids are also attracted to his bodily beauty. Such worshipable Lord I pay my obeisances to. So Lord has this potency when he is made into his archavigraha form according to the scriptures, you know, scriptural injunctions, and a pure devotee invites him in that form through the process of prana pratishtha. When that is done properly through scriptural guidance, then Lord agrees to manifest himself through that deity, through that archavigraha. So we have to see that deity is another thing. Sometimes people, they feel that okay, deity is there, it is made according to the Lord's, you know, description. But then still, just because it is made from the description doesn't make that thing as Lord. For example, like we, you know, click a photograph of some, you know, person. So then the photograph is there and the person is there. Although the photograph has all the details of that person captured in that photograph, just because of that, that photograph doesn't become that man. People, they give this understanding. But we have to see that deity form is not just a representation of God. You know? When we see the deity, we remember God. You know? And this is some, just, you know, for sake of reminding us of God, it's there. No, it's not the case. Why it is not the case? Say if person is there and his photograph is there, if you go in front of photograph and praise, you know, you are so beautiful, you are so merciful, you know, give me some, you know, blessings, that photo is not going to reciprocate with you. But when we go to that person and we say some good things, he'll be smiling. When you say some bad words, he'll be angry. When you ask some help, he will be able to help. So, reciprocation which we are looking, that is missing in the photograph. But when we come in front of the deities, it's our own experience, and it is the experience of many devotees, that when we approach deities through sincere heart and prayers, we understand just by serving the deity, just by praying to the deities, we advance in Krishna consciousness, which is a sign of reciprocation by deities to devotees who are serving them. So that reciprocation makes us little aware that this is not just a representation, it's Lord Himself. So this kind of understanding of the Lord is seen in different levels. According to our consciousness, how much it is developed, to that consciousness we perceive Lord in different ways. So that's why Acharya states these three levels of consciousness. First is Jadamaya. Jadamaya means materialistic consciousness. So when someone is seeing the deities with materialistic consciousness, he can just see only marble. He can just see matter. He cannot go beyond that. That's why we see sometimes people coming, deities are there, very beautifully decorated, but they keep looking everywhere. Very nice flooring, very nice, chat is there, very nice decoration, everywhere marble. Very nice. So for them, this marble and that marble has no difference. It's same only. Inside little lighting is there and, some dressing is done. And outside some nice furnished things are there. For them it doesn't matter. So that is materialistic consciousness. Jada Chetana. Second level, little higher than that, that is called as Manomai. He has gone beyond that materialistic consciousness and he understands little more subtly. But at this Manomai consciousness also, he understands that this form is not, it's like matter, for sure. Otherwise, why so much money is spent? Why everyone is coming and paying obeisances? Devotees are not coming and paying obeisances to this pillar. They are paying obeisances here. Then surely there is some difference. No doubt. Although in temple everything is spiritual. Like for that example, when Narasimhadev appeared through the pillar, we can see that if everything is spiritual, the pillar also is spiritual because it gave rise to, the Lord came out of it. So it has to be spiritual. And then Lord came as his Narasimha avatar. So when Prahlad Maharaj came to garland, whom he garland? He garlanded the Narasimhadev or he garlanded the pillar? No, pillar was spiritual, no doubt, because Lord came out of it. For that matter, everything is spiritual, because it's coming from the Lord. But we have to know that when it comes to worship, we worship the Lord, not things coming out of the Lord, as the Lord. So there is a difference. So this difference, is understood when it comes little higher level of consciousness. That is Manomai. But still, understanding Lord's deity as Lord Himself is not still, very much convinced in his heart. He feels that, okay, this is something special, Lord's presentation, but to understand that as Supreme Lord is little difficult for him. So that is Manomai. Third level is called as Chinmai. Chinmai means spiritual consciousness. So in that spiritual consciousness, the devotees can treat and perceive the Archa Vigraha as Lord Himself. No difference. They don't just consider this is, a picture of the Lord or this is a representation of the Lord. They don't think like that. Yesterday only we were hearing the story of Sakshi Gopal. That Brahmana who was young, he did not see that, okay, here is some murti of the Lord which represents Lord. But he was talking to the Lord and he was very confident that he should come to my village also to give the Saksha. So that is the consciousness level of those who are in higher understanding. Why it is? Because when the Lord appears in this world, he can appear through his any energies. That's why Prabhupada also in many places he describes this phenomena, that how, because for us matter is there and spirit is there, but for the Lord who is the source of both energies, for him that is not, you know, both are same only. And then he gives example of electrician. For electrician, when he is supplying electricity, for him it's same electricity, but when that electricity goes in the heater, then it oven, then it heats, and when it goes to the say air conditioner, then the same electricity, it appears in form of, you know, cooling effect. So there is no difference of, you know, hot electricity or cold electricity. Electricity is electricity, but for us it may be, you know, appearing differently, but for the Lord both of his energies are same and he can interchange them accordingly. For him it's not a, you know, problem. So Lord can transform material things into spiritual things, and Lord can transform material things into spiritual and spiritual into material at his will. He can do that because both are his energies. So that transformation capacity Lord have. So that's why we should not say that, okay, here is a matter and then how it can be spiritual. Why it cannot be spiritual? If Lord wants to make it spiritual, who we are to say, Lord, don't do that? The matter cannot be so powerful that he can restrict Lord to appear through that matter. No, Lord is more powerful than the matter. Yes, matter is limited, but Lord is unlimited. It has all powers. So same all-powerful Lord can appear through that limited matter also. That's the nature of the Lord. Lord is unlimited. Another example what Prabhupada writes is about spiritualization. So whatever is connected to the Lord, that becomes spiritualized. So by the presence of the Lord, as the iron rod put in the fire, it also becomes, you know, fiery. Similarly, Prabhupada writes that when the deity vigraha, vigraha made of stone or any other items which are told in the scriptures, they also become spiritual by the presence of the Lord. So when we understand this, that for Lord it's not a very difficult thing to do, but for us, because of our, you know, consciousness, we may not perceive it the way it is. So when we see this, that how all the matter is limited, but the Lord is all powerful and he can act through that matter to reciprocate with devotee's love. And in the last paragraph, Prabhupada writes, he writes, the form of the Lord as worshipped in the temple is called Archavigraha or Archavatar, the worshipable form, the deity incarnation. This facility is offered to neophyte devotees so that they can see the real form of the Lord face to face and offer their respectful obeisances and sacrifices in the form of Archa. So Prabhupada writes here that this Archavigraha form is meant for benedicting the devotees and benedicting specifically the neophyte, you know, devotees. Those who are just newly arrived in the arena of devotional service. So how this happens is also stated by our acharyas. Why Lord appears as Archavigraha? By two reasons. One is his own compassion to help people who have forgotten him, to give them remembrance and again come back to the spiritual world. At the same time, when a pure devotee, he had so much love for the Lord, intense love, and by that intense love, love means service. So a devotee who is having that intense love in his heart wants to serve also the Lord physically. He wants to serve hands on. So he wants some facility. And Lord is there, ye yatha mam prapadyante tam tathaiva bhajamyaham. That Lord also is there to reciprocate. So here is a devotee who wants to serve the Lord, and Lord also is very merciful. So because of these two combinations, Lord comes as a Archavigraha, just to reciprocate with his loving devotees. So just to reciprocate with the love of the devotee, he comes. That's why when pranapratistha is done, a pure devotee, along with all the Vedic sacrifice and Vedic program, he personally invites the Lord that please, you come here so that I can worship you and other devotees also can worship him. And then the Lord comes. Another thing is, when the devotee is having great compassion for seeing other people, then the devotee all naturally feels that okay, everyone should get benefit. But how everyone will get benefit? Because they are not on that level of seeing the Lord. They are very materialistic. Then the devotee compassionately calls out for Lord's help. So to reciprocate with that compassion, Lord appears. So Lord appears for both. Lord appears to his loving devotees, and Lord appears to a common man taking the compassion of devotees. To reciprocate with the compassion of devotees, he agrees to appear in front of common eyes, although they are not spiritual. So that is the mercy of the Lord. So that is just a reciprocation of a pure devotee and the Lord. Pure devotee wants him that everyone should be able to see you. Lord says, okay, although I am unseen by everyone, because you want me in that form, I'll come like that. So that is the nature of the Lord. So this Archavigraha form of the Lord, it's so important here, as Prabhupada says, by worshipping this kind of Archavigraha form of the Lord, we can gradually enhance our consciousness to come to the level where we can actually perceive Lord in the Archavigraha form. And no materialistic idea or just a representation. This pastime also comes when Prabhupada told one of his disciples to give Bhagavatam class. And in due course of Bhagavatam class, he said that here Lord is so merciful. So Lord comes and reside in the deity. So Lord is there in the deity. So then when the class ended, he asked for any questions, Prabhupada raised his hands. So by seeing that, the devotee became very panic. Now Prabhupada is going to ask the question. So then Prabhupada asked, he said, you are telling that Lord is there in the deity. Which part of the deity Lord resides? Is the Lord resides in the chest of the deity? Or he resides in the head of the deity? Where he resides? So this devotee became so confused. So he couldn't speak any word. So then Prabhupada only clarified this. He said, Lord is not in the deity, but Lord is the deity. It's not that we have body and we have spirit inside the body, seated in the heart. For Lord is not like that. Lord is spiritual. It's not that Lord's body and Lord's soul, two different things. So similarly, the Archavigraha, top to bottom, is spiritual. It's not that it's material and then Lord comes and decides in that. So when we understand that spiritual form, then it can help us to grow also in our spiritual consciousness. So by serving it, by praying it, by remembering the same form of the Lord, we benefit. And in connect, like just parallel to this understanding of this verse, another verse which Kapila Muni, Lord Kapila, he also, in the third canto, he also speaks much about the Lord's form in the chapter of Glories of Devotional Service. There he gives this very nice verse. He says, Hasam hare vanata akhila loka tivra shokashu sagara vishoshanam atyudaram sammohanaya rachitam nijamaya yasya bhumandala munikrute makaradhvajasya. There he says, Hasam hare vanata akhila loka tivra, that the beautiful smile of the Lord, it's so enchanting, so attracting to the people. Who are these people? Shoka Shru Sagara means they are so much in anxiety, so much in tension, that keep crying day and night. And their cries are so much, it becomes an ocean. And Shoka Shru Sagara. He says, when they cry, they create an ocean. That much they cry throughout their life. Everyone. But then he says, this one smile of the Lord is such powerful that it can completely evaporate that Shokashru Sagar. Everything is vanquished just by that one smile of the Lord. And then he says, Sammohanaya Rachitam Nijamaya Yasya Bhumandala Munikrite Makaradhvajasya. That this Lord is so merciful, specifically to his devotees who are worshipping him, that by his own internal potency he creates this form as Archa Vigraha, and specifically this arched eyebrows of the Lord, which are attracting to the Cupid, which attracts everyone, you know. So that kind of attraction, which is, you know, basis for this material life, you know, attraction between opposite sex, attraction between, you know, beautiful form, which is one of the most binding force of this world, which, you know, binds the living entity to this material world. Time and again, life after life, millions of lives. So, to get rid of that attraction, Lord has created this form with such a beautiful eyebrows, which attracts Kamadev, which attracts that Cupid. So when the devotees meditate on such form of the Lord, specifically on the eyebrows of the Lord, they can get rid of this attraction, worldly attraction. So this is also mercy of the Lord in the form of Archa Vigraha. So Lord comes in this form just to reciprocate his, you know, divine love to his conditioned living entities who have forgotten him. And this very easily we can perceive also in our life. To the degree we are sincerely trying to worship, trying to remember and trying to pray to this wonderful form of the Lord, which has so mercifully appeared in this world. And one devotee was telling from New Vrindavan, this pastime of the Lord, that once, like, the devotees make elaborate arrangement to worship the Lord, having so many nice jewelry, so many nice dress. So in New Vrindavan also they had very nice dresses for the Lord. And then sometimes they used to give to the washing, you know, dry cleaning. So once they had given this, you know, dress of the Lord for getting it properly washed, when it came back, they found that one frock of the, you know, of Radharani was missing. And dresses are very costly, thousands of rupees. So immediately the devotee called that person who did that job, and he said, "This one thing is missing. It it is thousands of rupees worth. So he said, I am sorry, but I'll see, you know, if some I can do something. And he searched, you know, in all his home. He tried to call all other, you know, people who were taking clothes from him, but there was no reply. Devotees were keeping, you know, they were practically harassing that, you know, person. And the person said, what can I do now? You know, I'll try my best to get it back. So then devotees also felt, okay, now it's gone to gone. So then, after practically 6 months, that one lady came to that dry cleaner and he said, I'm sorry, but I somehow by mistake of yours, this cloth came to me. I want to return it back. And I want to know who is this person. No, who is this frog belongs to? That dry cleaner was so fed up. He said, what nonsense, you are coming after 6 months. Can't you come just after 2-3 days? No, you knew that this is so costly, this is why you kept for 6 months. Then that lady became very grave and she said, do you know, when I took this frock at home, when I opened the, you know, bag, my small daughter was there. And when she saw this, you know, frock, she became so attracted, immediately she took the frock and, you know, keeping to the chest, she started caring for that cloth. So I said, no, this is not our frock, we'll give it back. So she said, no, I want this. And she said, I couldn't say no to her, because the doctor had, just 1 month back only, doctor had said that the small daughter which she had a cancer, and she was supposed to die within next 4 months. So she said, whatever is there, she is going to die after some time. Why should I make her cry, taking this also, you know, from her? So she said, okay, you keep it, and afterwards we'll see. And then she said, every day this girl, she never wore that frock, but she always used to carry that frock with her. Even while sleeping, even while eating, she used to always keep that frock. And when she was on the deathbed, you know, last few days, still she was keeping that, you know, frock on her chest. And when she left her body, that frock was still on her chest. And doctor said, we had not seen such peaceful death in this kind of, you know, cancer patients, where she left very peacefully, smiling. So by seeing all these things, this mother was very curious to know, what is this frock? Who is having this, you know, who is the owner of this frock? So then after the death of that daughter, she came and she was asking. So this person, he said, I don't want to take the heat of this devotees. The devotees are already angry with me. You only go and give that frock. I don't have to be in between. So she went, and it was night. So she came and she was asking different people, you know, this dry cleaner has told me to give this frock. Whom I am supposed to give? Who is this frock is? And fortunately, they met this pujari. And then she told all the story and said, I'm very sorry to go so late, but, you know, I could do this at least. And she wanted to meet this person who this frog belongs to. So then the devotee said, you come tomorrow, I'll show that person. You'll see that person wearing this, you know, frog. So then early in the morning, devotee called him, called that Mataji. And at the time of, you know, darshan, she saw first time that same person who was owner of that, you know, frock. You know, Radharani was wearing that same frock, you know, that, you know, garment. And then she could understand that this is not an ordinary person. So we can see that anything which comes in, you know, touch with the Archavigraha becomes so sanctified. And anything, whether the Archavigraha, it's, you know, themselves, or paraphernalia of Archavigraha, there are so much purifying potency that anyone comes in touch with that in any way will be benefited. That's why devotees worship such kind of Archavigraha with great opulence and great devotion every day. And today is a very auspicious day, being the sannyasa ceremony, day of Srila Prabhupada. So today, on September 17th, 1959, Prabhupada took sannyas in Sri Keshavji Math in Mathura, and His Holiness Bhakti Pradhan Keshav Maharaj, he offered him this. He was Abhay that time, traveling and preaching. Although he has left his family that point of time, but still he was in white, preaching vigorously in Jhansi and many other places. But at this time, when he got that dreams of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati coming in his dream, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to come in his dream and he used to call him. He used to sign him that you please follow me. So Prabhupada was very much disturbed by this dream. So then this Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was coming again and again in his dream. So when he went and told his godbrother Keshav Maharaj, Keshav Maharaj said, that means you are supposed to take sannyas now. Prabhupada was not very eager that time. He said, no, how can I take sannyas? And then in one of the lecture only Prabhupada says this. He said, this one my godbrother practically insisted me that you take sannyas, you do it. And he said, not that this one of my godbrother was insisting, but my spiritual master was insisting through that godbrother to take sannyas. So this Keshav Maharaj told him that, Abhay Prabhu, you please take sannyas. You must take sannyas. Because unless someone becomes sannyasi, he cannot become a proper preacher. And you have to preach. So you have to take sannyas. And just to fulfill the desire of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, which came on the first day only at his meeting, that you please go in Western world, English speaking world, and you preach this message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that's why you see, when the day of sannyas, when sannyas was given, he was there and he was sitting with another his godbrother called Sanatan, his name was. He was almost 90 years age. They both were sitting. Havan Kunda was there, and Narayan Maharaj, who is the disciple of Keshav Maharaj, was sitting there to perform sacrifices and mantras. And Keshav Maharaj was sitting on the raised platform. So after the finishing of this things of Havan and things like that, Keshav Maharaj started giving lecture. And surprisingly, which generally never used to happen, but Keshav Maharaj called upon Prabhupada and said, you speak now. So this was like little unusual. Prabhupada was not prepared. So Prabhupada saw here there, very few devotees were there, because there was no question of invitation and big function. Few devotees of that ashram were present, and this Akinchana Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj, he was singing with his melodious tunes behind. So when he was called, although he saw that all people are mostly Bengali and Orissan people, and English, only Keshav Maharaj and very few 2-3 devotees were knowing English. But he knew that this sannyas is given to him for preaching specifically to English people. So taking that in mind, he rose up and he spoke in English, although the audience was not English. And that was like one of the emphatic, that's how Prabhupada was showing through this action, that he took sannyas just for this one purpose of preaching very vigorously this message of Krishna consciousness in Western world. So today we pray to the very special devotee of the Lord, who is so beloved to the Lord, that Lord has personally sent such devotees for uplifting the whole humanity. So by praying to Prabhupada to get the same spirit of helping others, by taking this mission of Srila Prabhupada out in the world, So Prabhupada will be very mercifully give us that same mood and the mission. So we pray to Prabhupada and we pray to the Lord today that we also become insignificant part in the service of Prabhupada to Radharas Bihari. So we stop here. I thank all of you. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.